So you may have heard the announcement at dinner. If not, you're in for a surprise. I was inspired by a movement in our community to have a bonfire, and I think it was actually mentioned in jest initially, like, hey, bonfire, you guys? And of course, that to me is like, yeah, let's figure out how to do that. And it ended up being a gift. It has been a crazy day for me. Some of you know that there was some helicopter action, and I just want to say we're maintaining as best as we're able. Just the privacy of those folks, but we did have to evacuate somebody today, and another member went with them, and so just please hold them in the prayers, and I'll be going out tomorrow to be with and offer some support as well. So it's been a full day, and honestly, this gift of gathering around a fire has proved to be, at least selfishly, a great gift to me. It means that the order of things will be a little bit wonky. We begin with a greeting, and we're going to share the peace right away. and then this is the only thing that you need, the slip of paper that was on the table as you came in. If you missed the table, this is a perfect time to go grab one. And you just kind of follow along. There will be hymns, and the reading will just spill right into communion. And there's not really a sermon per se, but a lot of tonight's content is coming from the fire chapter from this book by Christine Walters Painter. It's called Water, Wind, Earth, and Fire, The Christian Practice of Praying with the Elements. And there's just some lush stuff in here. So that's kind of what the reflection will be. We'll sing a hymn, we'll bless us, and then if you missed this at dinner, here's the surprise. Then we're all going to walk, take a 10-minute walk over the covered bridge and up the path that we take behind Hydro as if to get to Garbo, but instead of kind of going right up to the third level, you hang a left and just walk straight. You should see the fire up, and then we will all gather closely. There won't be voice amplification up there. There'll be about 10 minutes more of service there. I'll be doing a guided meditation, but it'll be pretty simple. But if we could just gather close, because that'll allow us all to hear each other. And then you can just stay at the fire as long as you want. There will be guidance on how to move even further down the road and then take a path down to the fire if that is your desire to get even closer. So thank you for being present here in Vespers this night. And I pray that our reflections on fire are a blessing to all of us. The fullness of God, the peace of Christ, be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us take a moment to share a word of peace with one another.
I don't know. You look very nice.
Thank you.
Danny.
He's Daniel.
I love starting church with that. All right, we join in singing our opening hymn, Let All Things Now Living. Old Testament.
Founding the Israelites.
What's that?
Israelites,
yeah. Yeah, so it is when the people were enslaved by Pharaoh and Moses works to free them as they're leaving. They go in the dark of night and there's this pillar of fire that goes before them and guides them forward. And then in the heat of the day, there was a pillar of cloud that protected them. So, Biblical Imagery 101. There you go. All right. Deep peace of the shining stars to you, which stay invisible till darkness falls and discloses their pure and shining presence, beaming down in compassion on our turning world. Holy God, we thank you for the deep compassion that you share with every living creature. And we pray that we are attentive, present, able to see the amazing, wondrous ways that you surround us with your love. A reading from the Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter. Now on that same day, two of the disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all the things, which is speaking of Jesus' death, all the things that had happened.
While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them.
But their eyes were kept from recognizing him.
And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you are walking along?" They stood still, looking sad.
Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?"
He asked them, "What things?"
They replied,
"The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him."
But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel.
Yes, and beside all of this, it is now the third day since these things took place.
Moreover, some of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive.
Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him.
Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?"
Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. And as they came near the village to which they were going, Jesus walked ahead as if he were going on.
But they urged him strongly,
saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over."
So he went in to stay with them.
And when he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Because in this act of breaking bread, they immediately remembered, right, in the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And they remembered that again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all of them to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, and it is poured out for you and all people for the forgiveness of sin. Drink this in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat of this bread and drink of this cup, we celebrate the fullness of Jesus' presence with us now." I invite you now, as you feel comfortable, to pray the words of the prayer that Jesus taught us. Creator in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, These are the gifts of God for you, the people of God. Know that all are welcome to this table, as Jesus is the host and is he who invites you to come. Our practice here is that we try to remove any dietary barriers that also might exist to partake in this meal. So the first station has gluten-free wafers, then I'll be holding bread, and I'll tear off a piece. If you wish, you can, grab what you need. If we wish, you can dip it in the common cup and then eat the bread once it's been dipped in the wine, but you can also just drink straight from the cup, and that works well too. Otherwise, there are cups here. Both Lyndon and Mindy have cups. And then the first pitcher is wine, and the second pitcher is grape juice. So again, all has been prepared. If you would like to come forward, but you're not sure about the bread and wine portion of this, we very much still want you to be part of this table, and I would love to offer you a blessing. Again, please come. Know that you are part of this community. And there's no usher guiding you for us. Body of Christ.
body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. Body of Christ given to me. 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 Body of Christ given to me.
And now may the fullness of Jesus Christ bless you and hold you in his grace. Amen. And the gospel according to Luke chapter 24 continues. After they had broken bread with Jesus, it says their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And when Jesus left, they said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road and while he was opening the scriptures with us?" That same hour they got up and they returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 disciples and their companions gathered together, and they were saying with conviction now, "The Lord has risen indeed. He has appeared to Simon." And then they told them what had happened with them on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. As we consider reflecting on the element of fire, the many ways that it can catch our attention. We've all been perhaps outdoors while camping or even inside, gathered around a fireplace and become aware of how those flames can just hold our attention for long periods of time. And so I thought, how cool to have this space in our own village where wood that has been pulled out of the surrounding areas and stuff that's come from a bunch of different places, partially for our own safety, but hey, for beauty as well, to set some of this stuff on fire and to maybe use this powerful element as a chance to reflect more deeply ourselves on how fire can actually burn within us, how it can hold our attention, and perhaps even speak truth to us that we might not have noticed otherwise. I read words from Christine Walters Painter. "Scripture is filled with images of light and fire as symbols of the ways in which God illuminates our world and our souls. Moses encounters God for the first time in a burning bush. And from those flames, God speaks to Moses, telling him that God has heard the cry of his people and is calling upon Moses to help set the Israelites free. This vision of fire is also a call to freedom. And after the escape from Egypt, God sent a pillar of fire that we sang about earlier. God sent a pillar of fire to guide the Israelites across the desert by night and an ongoing beacon for guidance." In the gospel story of the transfiguration, this is where Jesus goes up to a mountain. He takes three of his closest friends, and he basically gets real bright and shiny. And Moses shows up and Elijah shows up. So it's this holy moment, right? They call it the Transfiguration. It says that Jesus shone like the sun and his clothes became dazzling white. Fire and illumination again become a window into the divine. The burning light that once appeared to Moses in the bush now radiates from Jesus himself. For Gregory Palamas, a 14th century Orthodox monk, it was the disciples who changed in that transfiguration, right? We say that Jesus was transfigured before them, but this 14th century monk argues that it was the disciples that were transfigured, not the Christ. Jesus was transfigured not by the addition of something that he was not, but by the manifestation to his disciples of what he really was. So through this process, he opened their eyes so that instead of being blind, they could see. And again, I think of those disciples on the road to Emmaus. But it's finally, I mean, they were walking with Jesus the whole time and had no idea. And it wasn't until he did this very ritual act of breaking bread that it finally dawned on him. And it says their eyes were opened and they could see Jesus. And then they had to look back. But weren't our hearts burning within us when that happened before? How can we pay attention? How can we see more fully some of the glory and wonder that is around us? She writes, "Because their perception grew sharper, the disciples were able to behold Christ as he truly is, a source of radiance in the world. We will only see the light that already exists if we train ourselves to do so, to peer into a deeper reality that is a metaphysical endeavor requiring that we see, and she puts that in quotations, with more than merely our eyes, and that what we sense with more than merely our own natural senses. The discipline of spiritual practice helps us to cultivate our ability to see below the surface of things and to have a transfigured vision of the world. According to legend, in the time of St. Patrick, a fire was kindled each spring by the Celtic tribes. And one year, Patrick decided to dedicate this fire to the risen Christ. I love this. There's sort of like the local tradition, or like, yeah, great, we're going to use this too as Christian people. But it said this is now the origin of our Easter Vigil. Many of you may know that we burn a fire at the beginning. And somehow I like to think of this Celtic people teaching Christians how to live into their faith in a more holistic embracing of creation kind of way. And so each year on this sacred night, we stand outside and light the great fire outdoors and process with it into the sanctuary where the Easter candle is lit as a reminder of the light that God brings into the world. And then we pass that light to one another, each person holding a taper, a candle, illumined by the flame rising from it. We light candles in our own prayer space, signaling the presence of the great fire burning among us. And we each, illumined by the fire lit within us, shining out to the world. When babies are baptized, we light a candle off the Christ candle, and then we look to that child and we say, "Let your light so shine before others that the world may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven." This idea is that the light is not just for us. Our relationship with God is not just for us, but it's how that light begins to burn for the sake of others. Sometimes for prayer, she writes, "I engage in a walking reflection, choosing a text and praying with it as I walk." Recently, the passage above about the experience of Saint Benedict had at the end, this is something she had written earlier, at the end of his life, that his heart was burning, the whole world was gathered up before his eyes in what appeared to be a single ray of light. And so Christine took these words on a walk with her, and entering with Benedict into this final vision, she began to, by relishing the words themselves, savoring them within her, and then allowing her imagination to unfold, to let images, feelings, memories stir within her. And this is what I'm hoping that we can go as we walk to the bonfire tonight, that we can actually allow our imaginations to flow a little bit. Perhaps it'll connect us to times that when we were at camp and we were younger, or powerful conversations that we've had around that fire. For some in this community, it actually may liken back to some of the distress and challenges of the Wolverine fire, or perhaps other fires that you've encountered. But to really take the reality of that burning and think about what God's voice is speaking to us through it. From these images and memories rising up, we can listen for the invitation of God. She was able to hear that she was being called in response to what she had seen in prayer. For her, it was springtime when she turned a corner and saw clusters of daffodils splayed across patches of grass. White and gold petals were open in their own prayers of supplication, illuminated by sunlight. And in a moment of grace, she saw the daffodil was not just radiant because of the sunlight dancing on the surface, but she saw that the daffodil light was lit from within and realized that God was saying the exact same thing about her. That it wasn't just standing in the light, but there is actually a light burning within each one of us that has this capacity to affect the world around us. So I send us out with words of Thomas Merton as we head up the hill. Merton writes, "I will try, like them, to be my own silence. And this is difficult. The whole world is secretly on fire. The stones burn. Even the stones, they burn me. How can a person be still or listen to all things burning? How can one dare to sit with them when all their silence is on fire?" I pray that fire become a metaphor for you, that it speak truth to you in whatever shape that takes. Let us now take 10 minutes and I invite us just to gather at the top of the hill when we get there for a closing meditation.